Yeah, a lot's happening around here.
A lot
here.
Is fucking happening hard.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 125 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And just a reminder, if you're nervous about being antisocial, just remember, you are all you need.
So what?
Nice.
I'm joined in this week. This week's guests are the Guitar Force musicians, builders, producers. Jesus Christ, what else are they doing? Just the amount of work these guys are doing is incredible. This week's guests are Matt Welsh and Sean Long from While She Sleeps.
Yes, but ironically, their last names do not describe them very well, because Matt...
Yes, Matt Welsh, not Welsh, in the slightest. Very, very northern, if anything. Should be Matt Northern. And Sean Long, I'm guessing 5'9", 5'10".
Have you got official height? Is that confirmed?
You know that just now I googled how tall is Sean Long while she sleeps. And we do have no official data on the height. So I'm going to go with 5'9", 5'10". Sean, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Don't fight me. That's a kind of a wink to something we mentioned later on. So, yes.
Yeah. But, of course, I've said it before and I'll say it again. While She Sleeps, one of, if not the most hardworking band in the world right now. Talk about independent artists taking things into your own hands. They're always producing blueprints for that and trying to help others to do so in the progress. Since they originally appeared on the podcast for episode 62, they've taken that into new heights now with their Sleep Society and a whole fan community experience. So as their new record drops today, we thought we'd invite Matt and Sean on to celebrate some landmarks and dive even more into their inspiring DIY mindset.
Yes, what an absolute fantastic chat with two absolute legends. What a great time. It was funny. It was super, super informative. It was inspirational. And yeah, we talk all things Sleep Society, including the album, the actual society and community they've created, which is absolutely amazing. I can't praise them enough. I genuinely can't praise this band enough. They're killing it. And the thing is, I wish they were doing something bad so I could call them out on it. But everything's everything's awesome. The videos are awesome. The music's unbelievable. Their attitudes are fucking stonking. Well, that's an old Welsh phrase that hasn't been heard from the 90s. Stonking. I haven't said that for a while. Yeah, what a great chat. And yeah, we got talking about something, a potential idea, which involves fights and people in bands. So that was interesting.
It gets very interesting. And I think a lot of people, when they get to that part of the conversation, might think all four of us has officially lost our minds. We probably have, but we're trying to make some money for good causes in the process. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, While She Sleeps are just doing incredible things. And the best bit about it is they're not being selfish and doing it in a show-off manner. They're trying to help every sort of artist from the rock community and all other genres to succeed and be able to make music in today's climate. So not only are we going to discuss all about the Sleep Society from the record, songs and Patreon, but get some secrets behind their toughest moments to date, being guinea pigs to these alternative platforms for artists, collaborating with the likes of Simon Neil from Biffy Clyro and Derek Weebly, and of course, that off the rail part of the conversation. So a lot to digest in this episode.
Yeah, I didn't even know about the Derek Weebly thing till you mentioned it, and that blew my bloody mind. So yeah, all of this is a fantastic chat. Thanks again to Matt. Thanks again to Sean. Thanks to While She Sleeps. Yeah, because, you know, we've been lucky enough to watch them grow from a couple of northern lads to these fucking British metal scene legends. Like, so, yeah, it's fucking brilliant. Well done to them. And keep it going, boys, please. And, yeah, hopefully my band Raiders is going to record a video with Aaron at some point.
Ooh, so nice.
Might be taking a trip up to Sheffield when we're officially allowed out. I don't know if we are. I don't know anymore. I'm lost. I'm just in a bunker. I'm in a bunker now. I'm going to come out in 2050 going, has the virus gone? And everything's been nuked.
Yeah. But, most probably. Anyway. Most probably. But yeah. Before we get into this conversation, just a little quick reminder. I know we say it every week, but it's very important to us. So please, please, if you can, we would love you very much to go and check out our loving community over at patreon.com/sapnin. Not only over there do you help us continue to make these podcasts each and every week with some fantastic guests for you to have a laugh and learn a lot from as well. They do share some very knowledgeable information from time to time, but there's a whole community of the SAP fam over there that you can get involved with, become absolute best friends, and there's loads of extra goodies and bonuses and extra podcasts, all that malarkey, if you're interested as well. So that's patreon.com/sapnin, or alternatively, you can go and give us a follow on our social media pages.
If you've listened to four or more of these podcasts, don't be a skinflint and help the boys out, will you? For God's sake, yeah. I don't even know what bloody day it is, as you know. So, yeah, help the boys out. Check out patreon.com/sapnin. Give us a follow on our socials, Instagram and Twitter, at sapninpod. That's at SAPPENINPOD. Jesus Christ, the first time I've ever forgotten it. At SAPPENINPOD. You've got to do both of those if you've listened to four episodes or more.
Yes, please do. It helps us a lot. And just send us messages, because we always like a little notification to come up and whatnot. But without any further ado, I think we should just get into this wonderful conversation with Matt and Sean from While She Sleeps. The new album is out today, Sleep Society. Yes. Let's celebrate in style.
Woo!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sapnin!
Nui!
Yes! Our guests this week are the guitar force behind one of Britain's and the world's best metal bands. Ooh, while she sleeps, one this week's guests are Matt Welsh and Sean Long. How are you, boys?
Good, man. How are you doing?
All right, yeah, I'm banged up at the moment, so I sound like I'm underwater. So that's not fun, but yeah. What's news with you? Congratulations! Wait, I just realised today. Now this podcast is out. The album is out right now.
Oh shit!
So congratulations,
Sleep Society, out now.
We hope it's not shit.
Yeah, I've never listened to it. Sean's done it. I'm hoping it's good.
We're about to find out, I tell you that. But like, no, but with everything, I'm sure, you know, this week is absolutely hectic in the Sleeps camp leading up to this record release and everything. But how are you guys feeling about it all now? What's everything like behind the scenes?
Feeling good. It's definitely release week. Or like right now, speaking to you from the past. Last week was definitely busy. It's
this year has been definitely busy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's chaos, but it's sick. Do you know what I mean? It's nice to see all these things, all these projects from like a year and more, just like coming to a head. It's exciting. Yeah,
I mean, it's just that accumulation of all this fucking work. Like, it's weird because we always know that this is what's going to happen. Obviously, it's going to come out, but when it comes to this week, it's a bit fucking. It gets overwhelming. Like every release, it's an overwhelming time. Even if it's just overwhelmed with positivity, because it always is that way, because we're so good. But I'm only joking. But it's overwhelming either way. Do you know what I mean? Just because of all the work that's gone into it. So.
And it's proper all hands on deck. Like in the warehouse at the moment, there's just every corner has someone on something else. It's like, but there's kind of something really nice about like that. It feels kind of like you're about to go on tour. It's like everyone's like getting something ready or like working out what we're like putting out today online or just, it's busy, but it's a good kind of busy.
Remember that going out on tour stuff? That was mad, wasn't it? Remember, man. We were allowed out on tour and we could play gigs. Remember gigs? Gigs are mad, weren't they? I don't mean the left winger from Manchester United. I mean like playing concerts.
Gigs is very good.
Gigs is mad.
So good.
Yeah. I've been going to loads of gigs on YouTube.
Oh, aye, yeah.
I go to YouTube gigs all the time, but they're not like they're not very sweaty.
At least no one bothers you there. I mean,
I feel safe, but I also feel like kind of distracted and kind of bored at the same time.
Yeah, I find there's not enough mosh at these YouTube gigs. Even when I've had my mother attend as well, I've tried to kick up a circle pit, and she's having none of it. They just crap crowds on these YouTube shows, and I'm not too fussed on them.
I'm trying. I leave the band on and go out for a ciggy and like go to the kitchen for a beer, but like on a song that I'm not that interested in, and then come back for bangers.
Oh, it's mad, isn't it? All those little things you think everyone did back in the day when we took all that for granted.
Back in the day, man. Oh yeah,
don't say that.
It is fucking mad, man. When I watch some gigs of us, I look back and I'm like, that's what we used to do? Like dancing on stage with these fucking wooden fucking sticks? It's mad. And then people are there going like, yes!
Loads of people like bustling up against each other. I think that for me is what looks so nuts now, because you've just got so used to like not seeing people. Like if someone stands too close to me in a queue, I'm a bit like, all right mate, back off. But like yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, strange. Like think about like when people used to be at gigs and they used to be on the barrier and some guy would just hand one tiny cup of water and like 70 people would be hydrated off that one cup of water passing around. That can't happen again. That's fucking gone forever, surely. You're not sucking down somebody else's spit anymore.
Yeah, dude, when you start looking at it, it looks like disgusting now. What used to be normal for us looks atrocious.
Yeah, but I think if you've ever licked the pole in the fleece and firkin, I think you can't catch corona or be harmed by conventional weapons. So I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. I've licked that pole. There's many a venue floor I've accidentally tasted. So I think I'm fine for the corona.
I've licked all sorts of shit. It's all good.
But when did the real start of the Sleep Society record begin? Where, how long ago did you guys start before? Now it's out now, so yeah. How long ago did you start?
I think the concept for the idea began on our first ever American headliner. We were having many nighttime discussions, weren't we, about what we could actually do for this campaign, because we always get excited about trying to do something different in general. And I think the beginning of it came from, we had this idea to maybe do a mini campaign every month, like release a song every month, no album, and then maybe this album comes out in December, so it's almost like a calendar. So every song comes out a month, and like we do a separate campaign for each song, 12 songs.
A year's worth of music.
And then maybe something cool, like, it's still a cool idea, like I had the idea like you could do like a 7-inch vinyl or something for each month, and then in December we release like this sculpture thing where all the vinyls go inside. So we always had this idea of like a monthly thing. So I think that's where it came from. Let's build this kind of society. That, I think that's the initial idea. That's
we had the album name before. The album name was right at the beginning. And we were sort of like spending our nights on that tour, sort of sat talking about this thing, but quite conscious that like we need to design it a little bit before we sort of pitch it. Because, you know, it's like if you pitch an idea too early, like it
even
sounds
to,
like...
Even to the band, like the rest of the band, like when we were talking about it.
It sounds like you're coming up with it on the spot. So like, I'm always like, you don't show someone the demo like 10 minutes into demo, do you? You get
you make it sound fucking good first.
And then you still do the disclaimers. But like we were on that tour, we were sort of scheming at like, we knew we wanted to do some kind of subscription based thing. We knew we wanted to like build a house around the fan base. We've already got this cool community thing going off, but how do we proper give it a fucking name and tie it together with the record and maybe with the way we release music? When you start thinking of them ideas, that's like a pretty overwhelming task off the bat. We were like, do we build an app? Do we build a do we use a platform that's there? If you release music through it, how do you do that? Are you excluding other people? Like, how do you sort of sit in the middle and it fulfills the fan base who want to be in that group? Those people who like, it's a proper like diehard. But then what happens to the people who are just like, yeah, I listen to Sleeps once a month, maybe.
And that's still been the dance, actually, is like balancing those two things without ever making it seem like the years of support from everyone else has just been disregarded because it's all based around the society. We've been dancing with that constantly to make sure that it's never been about that actual division between our fans. It's actually about everyone's together. This is just, I've been saying in a lot of interviews, it's just like there was a function to it, but then there's another part of it that was just fun. It's fun for the fans. It is just a cool idea on its own. Not everything has to have this elaborate meaning, which it did as well. But part of it, I think it was just a cool idea, do you know what I mean? That went hand in hand with what we needed to happen at the same time.
Yeah, because it's just, it had a million different jobs, and it's doing everything from sort of targeting the things that are wrong with, like the things that we've found wrong with the music industry. So it's part of it's to combat that. Part of it's to actually connect our fans, not just to us, but to each other. Because it's like, it's not like you can't quite do that. They can't quite do that on Instagram or things like that. So it's like, how do we make a hub, a community hub for that, like you guys have got with Sapnin? And then also, like Sean said, just the, let's try something a bit different for us, because that's what we're kind of constantly searching for, something that exercises a bit more out of us than just making music and like sharing some of the things we've kind of picked up along the way.
What's exciting just for a fan? Why are they interested in this entire thing anyway? Like, of course it's the music, but it's always nice to have some substance behind, like, why are they supporting us? So it's always every album, and we always like to do something that gives the fans meaning to be part of something. And that's where I think it's just fun. It's just fun for the fans to be part of this like underground club. Like,
the brief is just what did we want like as kids, like entering this, like,
would we join our favorite band society?
What we did.
So it's like
who was the band society that you joined?
The Thrice Alliance.
Oh, nice. I hope that is their actual official hand gesture.
I wish there was one.
Brilliant. You need a sleep society hand gesture now then.
I know, innit?
Gotta start one.
We do, actually. But saying that, handshakes aren't... Maybe a gesture's right, not like a shake, like a gesture. If any fans want to turn up at the pop-up this weekend and bring me a hand gesture...
But the thing is, you gotta make sure that it's not some weird gang symbol in a different country, and then you've started an intergalactical war with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, my dog is giving it one. Yeah, we should probably steer clear of the gangs. Like, all good having a crew, not a gang.
Fair enough. I wanted to say, I remember when you guys launched the Sleep Society on the Patreon, I was blown away by it. I just thought it was fucking genius. I've seen a couple of bands try it since, but I don't know if anyone's pulling her off as well as While She Sleeps is.
Thanks, man.
And we've also got people who are in our Patreon who are part of your Sleep Society as well. And we know, from them that they love it as well. So
Nice. Congratulations
on all that.
I
genuinely believe it's a new model the band should definitely, definitely look into.
Yeah. I think what were a massive point in us, like a big realization, was like, people do these things, but it's always a side hustle. It's always, we've got this thing on the side. We kind of wanted to do it, but on a level where that was what we were directing our energy into. And that's why it helped for us to basically call the record the same thing as what we were making, because it's a record about that and it's a thing that's about the record. It's all like, everything plays off each other. And it instantly turned the day we launched, like, things just completely stepped up a gear. And after a year of like nuts planning for it, like the next day after it launched, we were like, okay, where are the crew? Let's give them jobs.
Like, it's weird because obviously we expect and we plan for it to be a success. But we, you know what I mean? It was so risky to put all our eggs in that basket.
Totally.
It did work. So when it were happening, we're like, oh my God, it's worked. And then we woke up the next day, it was like, oh, it's worked. So
now what do we do?
Now what do we do? Like, we have to actually make sure people are...
I kind of feel like that about Friday. About today.
Yeah, yesterday, yeah.
Like, I haven't really... It's all about until release day.
I know.
After that, I'm like, shit.
You know what it's like? It's just that fucking blur of, it'll be over in a second, but you'll feel like it's just hard to stay fucking present when you drop an album. It's just all go.
Yeah, a week today now, and that's all blown over, and you're just out promoting the record. And
Yeah,
it's game on from...
Like, it doesn't feel long ago when we were sat around being like, okay, we're going to release this and be like, here's what we're doing, and the album felt so long away.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? When we launched that, like, and now we're like three singles down, people like them, people are in the society.
Yeah.
Now we're doing this, and we're like, yeah, it's crazy. I'm looking forward to the beer tonight.
Yeah, man, in it, bro.
The like, it's out. We've actually seen people in person and talked to them about the album, which is going to be really fun today.
Yeah,
I'm struggling with this being in the future.
Just say wherever's natural, But no, I can totally understand the whole pressures of everything. And we'll dive into the record itself in just a little bit. But staying on the Sleep Society and community you've built, as you said, like, you know, these platforms have existed in the past, but it does feel like While She Sleeps have been able to kind of rebrand and re-image it to its own special thing. And the fact that now you've been able to employ a team of people that you've always worked with, whether it be like tour managers, lighting crew and all that kind of thing, it must just feel that not only are the fans getting this absolute like innocent insight into the band, but you've been able to give back to those people who have been with you from day one, both in the crowds and behind it.
Yeah, that's one of the nicest feelings about it. We all of us personally haven't taken anything from the Patreon, from Sleep Society so far. Like, so far, everything that it's brought has gone back into the people we're hiring, the projects we're working on, the record, like, because that's what it's for. It's not for us all to like get nicer fucking houses and shit. Like, it's it's just so that we can continue doing it with that security and to like to turn this thing into just a bigger operation, turn it into something that we can give our mates a job, and it's not going to screw us to give them that job. And that everything works in tandem. That's like better for us because we've got someone here. If you want to film something cool today, it's like, cool, Barnsley's here, he's outside. And like that opportunity that it's brought, just turning, making the band when we're off tour, we were actually almost behaving like we're on tour. We've got the same team around us that we would have. And that opens up our opportunities, like, massively.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I love that you're helping your friends out. I was expecting you both to turn up with massive crowns on today. Just be like, yeah, the Patreon's doing all right.
I want one, though.
Yeah. Anyone wants to bring one.
Yeah. I think we all want one. Yeah. I think there's one going now with the recent news of a certain prince. But anyway.
But Matt, obviously the last time you were on with Loz, we talked a lot about the kind of DIY aspect of the band. And for years, you've already taken a lot of things into your own hand with this building stuff or just things behind the scene. But I understand now, really, with all of this, you've become the day-to-day manager of the band. Obviously, you're all got the warehouse where you're getting together and just doing stuff on a daily basis. But what is that schedule like for everyone involved? What is the kind of shifts and day jobs, really, of the band behind the scenes getting things ready?
It's a massive learning curve, and I don't think it'll ever stop because it's the same as what being in the band's like. It's you don't feel like you suddenly know what you're doing. We're still learning constantly, and this is a new sort of behind the scenes managed the band forever. I've always been that kind of dad figure, and then
he's definitely my dad. If I need some fixing or some advice, I'll text my dad,
and I love that. And then this is like this cycle, and we made this change to decide to become independently managed, which is a bit of a scary thing, but also we kind of knew we could do it because we've been doing it sort of semi for so long. It's been a lot of work, and it's a lot of learning. Like, there's things that I love about it, things that I don't like as much about it, but it's all those bits where, like, me going through a record release in that role is me working out the bits I absolutely love about that and the things that next time I'll pass on to someone else. It's like, it's learning the things that are like worth my time. Like, it's definitely, if I can get through this bit, which is the release, that I know that that's the hardest point.
Yeah.
So I know that it's possible. Like, I do miss playing guitar a little bit because I'm spending so much time there, but
I've actually, in this process of like we becoming self-managed, I've developed a newfound respect for our old managers, even more so.
Yeah,
actually,
me too,
because even though we had a few ups and downs with them, they were actually really great to us. And now I've actually seen a lot of the workload that we would maybe not consider work when we were just the artist. And you're like, oh, that's nothing. You know, a few emails here and there and these spreadsheets and all that, the little things. And you're like, well, get us bigger or whatever it is. But now we've been handed all these little jobs. Now it's on our back. And now I realize that the workload is actually, it's a lot, because if we don't pick something up off, we don't do this thing, it falls. Like, just at the minute, I'm trying to take care of just the simple aspect of all the press and the socials and making sure we look good for this week. Keeping up these things that keep coming in, it's like you drop one of them, then the push of the band falls, even something as simple as that. And it's just like when the emails climb up, but it's very easy when you're not in that position to kind of, you know, shout down your manager's throat, being like, fucking get the work done or whatever.
Just think that everything's happening and running. That's the biggest realization.
There is a lot more. It's the little things that actually add up to a big workload, which I've seen with Matt. Like I said, like, he's missed out on a lot of the recording process and stuff like that. Not a lot of it, but enough to notice that his attention needs to be taking care of so much of the logistical side of it to keep it running.
So that's my learning, is just like taking out of that the bits that the, like, how is your time most useful? Like, the bits of the management where it's logistics and like the decision making parts of it, they're the things which I'll definitely stay really involved with. But the parts that are like form filling and like a bit more of the account side and of like the bits of the business that aren't flashy or cool, I'll use the team to like to do that. Like, so it's just all those things, but it's such a fun, like Sean said a minute ago, if something doesn't happen, that's because you haven't done it. There's no one to blame anymore. And that's like the nicest feeling, because you are responsible for it failing and succeeding all in one big thing. And it comes out of how much energy we put into it. So it's like...
And yeah, and I think we've been through the motions now. We've done, you know, we've done a record with no label completely and a management, and we've done a record with no management and label. So it's just like, again, man, it's just a bit of fun. And imagine if, you know, this is just some success and this album works and the Sleep Society works. It's just like, well, look what we've done just by just trying this thing out, instead of completely being prescribed. The only thing that you have to do in the industry is these things here. That's what you do to be in a band. When it's just, it's really not true. And people are just very wary of taking that extra step out. When it's just like, what you got to lose, man? Just fucking... Yeah. You can always get another fucking job, but whatever. You may as well just have a go at something.
You can always make another record. It's what we talked about before this. We just, I'm going back to like You Are We, where this sort of thing, like this sort of addiction to the independent aspects, like happened. Is we were just like, do we want to try it? Like, if we want to try it, then we're gonna just kick ourselves forever if we don't. And if we like, if we never did this, we'd be like, oh, I kind of wish we just like had a go at managing ourselves, or I kind of wish like we tried releasing a record on our own. So, and you've just got to do them, whether it fails or not. I'd way prefer it to fail and we actually listen to ourselves and exercise this idea than wonder.
It's what something might now that happened. I think that we're really magnetized to, especially from You Are We, from the Pledge campaign. The one thing I remember, and I think we all just actually, we use this in loads of aspects of being in a band. It's like, we were really shitting ourselves with the Pledge campaign for You Are We. It was really terrifying. And it's only because we didn't have the security of the label. And that's it. And you're like, fucking hell, the band could end. What's all these suits above us? What are they going to, what if we lose all this stuff? So that was the fear from it. But we did it. And that fear is more exciting than anything else. So we had we had a similar fear with the Sleep Society. Fucking hell, we're just making it OnlyFans. What if it all just falls apart and people just, it doesn't work? That fear is the point for all of it. And then that falls into writing as well. It's like, oh shit, that bit's a bit, like with the some of the synth aspects and stuff like that, it's very scary for a raw punk metal band. But it's just, you've got to get drawn to those things. That fear, I think, if you're brave enough to do it, the rewards are greater by taking those steps. Like,
you've stopped the decision of doing it because it was going to do something good, and just done it because you needed to exercise it for you personally. And that's what we're learning more about the whole thing. It's just a journey that we're on, whether it becomes three times the size tomorrow or stays the same size or gets smaller. It actually doesn't matter, so long as we can continue doing it. And you, like, just going back to You Are We on that record, we were so worried about that, and we suddenly had this like wave of acknowledgement that the power of a fan base is actually greater than any like music industry deal you can do, or like management or a label or anything like that. Just the power, like realizing that, oh my god, they can make anything possible, this massive audience that we talk to. And that instilled us with this thing of like, actually, if it's us and them and like they like what we're making and that connection's there, then we kind of can just take that energy and put it anywhere, whether that's making a record without a label up.
And like, I'll always say this on behalf of Whilst He Sleeps, it's like the industry and labels and management, there's nothing wrong with that. They're all playing a game too. We're playing the band game. Everyone's playing these different games and different walks of life. I don't never want people to think that, you know, Sleep's just against the industry. And it's like, it's not about that. We need the industry. It's not like that. It's just being creative further than our instruments. You know what I mean? It's like we're trying to do something deeper than just what you're supposed to do as an artist. It's like labels can do incredible things. They have done incredible things for us and continue to do so.
Totally.
Same for managements and everything. It's not like we're demonizing these things. It's just like we're just doing what we want to do, and that seems to work sometimes. You know what I mean? I think it's right place and right time for all those things for any band. Like, bands need the labels, band needs the industry, the promotion, all those. There's a time and place for everything.
Basically, we're driving to Wales to see you guys now, and I've decided to take the country route, which takes a little bit longer and like might have a bit more wear and tear on my car, but the views are good. It's a while. Sean went on the motorway. Both routes are absolutely fine.
but that's the thing, though, as you mentioned, like, what I've enjoyed seeing you guys kind of promote this and everything is that it's not like you're going, oh, fuck record labels, fuck management and all that kind of thing. Like, obviously, people have had bad experiences and there's some bands who've been screwed over and whatnot, but you're just creating the blueprint to say to other artists that you can do it this way if that is better off for you. Have you seen in the industry as well, like, kind of other bands react to that? Because obviously the fan aspect of it has been very positive and your community has grown even more, but from other, like, bandmates and peers in the industry, have you seen a kind of different connection from their side of you?
Yeah, that for me was one of the most exciting principles of the first the video of Sleep Society. When we was writing the script for that, like, fake press conference, one of my favorite points of the entire campaign was, we would like to be that voice for artists that don't have the bollocks to say that streaming services are pretty shit for artists. Like, I wanted bands to be like, oh, fuck, like, this, they're saying it, not only saying it, they're saying it on their first drop of a campaign. So I was really excited for bands to look up to us in that sense, being like, so that they can then come with us and say, someone finally said it. Like, so, and we did, like, the amount of bands that have started Patreon since we dropped that campaign, and not only done that, a lot of them are actually, not that we're looking for the credit, but they're actually crediting us in their, like, launch videos and stuff, being like, nice. While She Sleeps created this model, we're doing this. That's almost half the reason I was really excited about this, is so other bands are like, let's give that a go. Like we were saying, we put most of our eggs in this Sleep Society thing. I don't think everyone has to do that. I just think it should be an industry standard that every band has a society. So you can sign your deals, you can have your management, you can do whatever you want, but you also join the society if you support that band.
Yeah,
so
it's like fan security.
Yeah, so that monthly support keeps funding the music, because streaming does not fund the music. Yeah,
that's my biggest take back from the whole campaign so far, is it's not about me looking back and saying what's wrong with the industry and looking at all the, like, the things that went wrong for us and all the things that went right. Like, just, it's not about that. It's about just being like the crash test dummies for this idea of what happens if you do put your eggs in this basket and do this route. Because the more I think about it, the more I'm scared of all the things that are changing. Streaming's the way we listen to music. There's no question about that. That's how I listen to music. So I should listen to music. But it doesn't really provide the enough financial support for someone to create music and do it for a career. So that's the initial scary thing. If people find out that, then maybe you're less interested. The 15-year-old kid that we were, who was desperate to do this because it's our dream, they're like, someone can literally turn around to them and say, like, it's not sustainable though. Like, so just trying to make this, like, make it a bit of a thing that we can advertise as, like, it could be a career if you do it this way. Like, that's because the more people get knocked off by, like, what streaming does financially to people as a career, and, like, there's no hiding it. People are financially driven. Like it's lucky when you're not, but the more people, like, find out about that, the less people want to do it. And then the less people do it, this culture that we fell in love with just, like, kind of starts falling apart. And it won't fall apart, like, now in 10 years, but if it just chips away like that for the next 50 years, this, like, scene that we were, like, embraced in when we were kids, that felt like somewhere we were welcomed in, like, not fitting in at school, that might not exist if people don't have the urge to want to become a quote-unquote rock star. Do you know what I mean? Because there's no appeal to it. So if we can make this thing of, like, no, it's totally possible and you can actually live, like, a proper career. All people told us was that, like, backup plan, you need something else. Like, luckily we sort of powered through that, but yeah, that's my fear, just like that. And then never mind, like, anything to do with Brexit and traveling. It's like everything's sort of getting cut off. There might not be no money in music, and now you might not be able to go to Germany and play that gig for 50 quid that might get you some fans. Like, all those things are roadblocks in the, like, future of people wanting to do it. So the more ways we can overcome that, that's, like, my favorite thing about the campaign. To get to this point in it and go, like, we risked it and it's worked, gives me, like, such a good feeling to sort of tell other people, because it's not like it's just an idea. It's like, it's an idea and we exercised it, and now we can turn around and say, yeah, but we just proved that you can make it work. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when you launched it, I remember thinking, this is fucking genius. This is like the Blackout were lucky enough to do Pledge, I think. Or was it Pledge or Kickstarter? One of the two. I think it was Pledge we did first. Just like Charlie Simpson was the first person to do it acoustically. I think he did it as a solo record. Then we did it. And at first, we were fucking shitting ourselves. We were like, is anybody going to want to do any of these things that we offer? Is it going to work? Have we got enough people into the band? And then when you launched this, I was like, fucking, this is unbelievable. This is spot on. This is what every band should be aiming to do, because it's the best way to keep a community, offer them things, and for you guys to make money to keep the engine rolling of the band. And yeah, it's absolutely genius, and I love everything that's come from it so far. So yeah, congratulations on it, boys.
Cheers, you've, brother.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
I genuinely believe you're changing the music landscape.
I think as well, I'll add what I like about what we're saying is, like, music is perceived as not as valuable as it used to be. The actual, the music in itself, the things that we listen to that take our mind off things, enjoy, rock out to, dance, sing, the actual fundamental principle of music, the value, that value has gone down because it's diluted not only with how many artists there are in the world, but how easy it is to get it. So anyone that's coming into this world, a new teenager, music's there on tap, free. It's free. There's no question. So this new world is that music is there, just like when I go to get a drink of water, the tap, the water's there. It's always there for everyone. So I think trying to add some value back into the actual music, not the camaraderie all around it. Like we have to make merch and all that stuff to actually pay for the records.
Yeah.
What happened to this is the valuable thing, is the music thing. That's the thing that takes 5 years to create. Of fucking breakups, fucking arguments, pain, suffering, depression, anxiety. All that is what makes this valuable thing, which is fucking free now. That's the fucking mental thing. So I think when that concept gets understood a little bit more, the societies, I honestly would like other bands to call them societies. I think it's cool, but that's why I think the societies for other bands is... it should be common sense, especially in this climate.
It's nothing to be like, it's nothing to be embarrassed about replicating.
No.
I think people are always scared that they're like, are we begging? Are we asking those things? But it's like, we've been around the houses for 10 years of being like, how can we survive? And it's always like merch, and you go down that route, but that's putting the energy in, starts putting the energy in the wrong place. I still want to always have insane merch, but like if that becomes your main source of survival, which it was for us for years, all our time's going into this thing and we're actually distracted from music now. So like, at least with Sleep Society, it's putting the energy in the right place in terms of, it's like Sean said, it's putting the value back into, like, the worth back into music and making people listen to it, hopefully in a way that they understand what goes into it. I also like just telling people the fucking truth and like how long it takes, the effort, the money, like how much it costs to make a fucking record.
Can you imagine that? Like, it's not, again, it's not about money, but just if you put things into perspective, like someone does a painting for 4 years and they nearly die four times making it and you just pay a tenner for it. That don't even happen anymore. It's actually free now. So it's just like, I don't know, it's just the concept. Again, like, I mean, it's not about capitalizing on it. It's just about making, funding the actual producing of it and making sure that actual, the creation can continue. Because I think one thing people might miss is how expensive it is to even be in a band. Like how, just to keep it, forget about making good music. That's hard enough in itself to be a good band and create things that's, you know, that resonate with people. That's hard enough in itself. But just to actually keep one running, just to play a gig, man, fucking 12 mortgages just to do that. It's mad. Like, it's just so expensive.
I think people need to tell that, because you just, it lives under this like really shiny exterior, and like exactly what Instagram can do now to like put out as inaccurate representation of someone's life. That's kind of what bands were designed like. It's these like rock star figures who live this like completely teenage 6 week holiday life, who like never go to work, and that's what it was dressed up like. So it's a really inaccurate representation of what it is. So that, for me, I just like breaking that down into like what it actually is. And like, I'm not interested in dressing it up or trying to make it look like it's really easy or any of those things. I'd rather just tell people how it is. At least if we could be that band, I'm not saying that everyone should be like that, because I'm entertained when I watch a band who are not like that. Like, but at least someone should do it so that people can find out. And like, there were a lot of shit that I wanted to know about, like, being in a band and getting into this world when I was a kid, that I would have, like, I'd have done anything to be part of something that was open to talking to me about it the same way that I'm trying to do for people now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and especially in the way you're doing it as well, not trying to, like, scare people off or just fear them with the facts, but just presenting it to them in a way where they can, you know, understand it and know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
And know how they can support people and artists and bands, creatives, whatever. But going back to the record as well, obviously, Sleep Society, there's two things I've seen already online from kind of reviews and stuff, is that people seem to have built a connection with it and saying that these songs feel like it's being written personally for them, as well as that kind of energetic and punk rock atmosphere that you guys have always brought. I mean, in the sense of the songs and writing this record, what was the mindset going into it? Was it a kind of back up against the wall atmosphere, or was it just a mixture of things going on in your personal lives and putting it all together?
I think when we make music, it's very rare that we sit down together and come up with some form of emotional concepts or some ideas to put into these songs that have a definitive meaning.
Yeah, and kind there's of, no plan at the beginning.
There's no plan. And like, I know speaking from myself personally, it's like I write because there's something I really enjoy about it, simply as that. When I feel that inspiration feeling and then I make something and then I listen to it back and then I get like a snowball effect and the inspiration goes on. But what I've realized is there's actually something much deeper going on, because we're not aware of it consciously at the moment and the time of making the record, but in retrospect, you find out later what was going on and what you were thinking about and what you were talking about. Because at the time, you're just like, you know, like We're Nervous, for example, I didn't sit down and be like, I'm going to write this song about mental health or anything like that. No, it just happened. Why did it happen?
Or about pandemic or COVID. Or
about
like
the pandemic or anything like that, about Sleep Society. You just write and there's something in you, that inspirational feeling that says this way, and then you follow that, then you get there, and then it pulls you, and that feeling dictates what the album's about. So without sounding cheesy, it's not always our conscious minds that's just putting it all together. In 2 years' time, I will listen to this and be like, fuck, that's what we're going down. Mm-hmm. Because something Matt said to me about So What. It's like when you listen back to So What, you can really hear the pain and struggle that we was all going through. We were quite a mess at that point.
Really tough stage now, that record.
Multiple reasons that I was going for a breakup. Matt was fucking in hospital, like, lost his throat. There's so many personal, emotional problems that were going on. And he's like, do you know, when you listen to that record, you can hear it. And when I hear it, I fall straight back into those emotions back then. And I'm like, that's why I said that in that song. But yeah, I didn't. But when I writ it, I weren't just like, I'm going to write that because I feel this way today. You know, I'm really getting the emotions out. No, it comes out me. I think it sounds cool and I just go with it. Then 2 years later, I found out why I said it then.
It's a diary, and it's like...
You're writing a diary with your eyes closed, that's what it is.
Yeah, and it's also like just sort of putting a pinhole in a water balloon, and like, and that stuff is coming out of there, and whatever you've had trapped inside you on that. It's what I'm so in love with this album about is because it's so difficult to align five people in a good situation, physically well, mentally well, like energized, connected, like getting all those things to align with five people living pretty real lives. That's like, it's a tall order, do you know what I mean? And on So What, those things didn't align. We had loads of like problems, like physically, mentally, internally as a band. Just, it was a really tough record to get through. And on this record, it wasn't. It was like the vibe was good. We were connected. We were well, healthy, and like, and it was fun to make, and it's the most personal record I think we've ever made. Like, it's, for me, it's the record where we stopped talking. I'd always talk about, from like a lyric point of view, I'd always talk about the world very much in my vision and the things I'm seeing and the change I want in the things I'm seeing and the things that I think are wrong with it and that. And on this record, it's like that like field of vision was like so much narrower and almost back personally. And it was kind of like, this record for me is about starting at yourself, and then that will then have an effect on those big things that we were talking about before. But it's not like we're talking directly about the thing on the news. It's more like about the personal things, that the small changes that you make that have a massive effect at the end, which is quite a nice different way for us to write, rather than sort of the political side that naturally I'd go to before.
Yeah, I think like the individual becomes before the collective. I think that's an important thing we all forget. Like, there is no such thing as society. You are society. The way that we interact in our day-to-day, but the way you speak to your girlfriend, your mom, the work you do, the emotions you feel, you are society. There is no such thing as the entity of society. There is. I'm just, you know, playing with words, but like, that's it. We are that first. So when that whole, like, be the change you want to see in the world, I think is super relevant, because it must come first from the individual level. You can't go out and change the world just because you think you ought to, or out of guilt because you're supposed to, and that's the good thing to do and everyone else is doing it. I think that's super polluting in itself. You must feel inspired to do change within your immediate surrounding and the things that you can affect in your life. And they're the things that will then affect the collective. And I think, especially with You Are All You Need, things like that, it's stand on your own 2 feet first and see what happens then, instead of like getting knocked down once and then being like, oh shit, we must go this way then. Don't do that again. Someone said no to that thing. And it's like, yeah.
I also think to one of the, just look like looking back at the record now and why it houses the things it does, then this applies to previous records. It's, I think for us, it's really healthy to have a project with such a purpose running alongside the actual music. So because we knew this record was Sleep Society, that was this like fire just going all the way through it. And lyrically, subconsciously became a subject that we were talking about, that was like everything from the fear in what we're doing and talking about how it's about connecting the people that don't feel like there's a place for them to fit in. And it's like, as cheesy as it is, we have spent all our lives not feeling like we fit into normal society. So this is about like, well, let's make one for us then. Let's make our own one. And that having something to, it's almost like having a bit of bait flying along at the side of you all the way through making the record, because we've got more than just the record to make. There's a real purpose.
Yeah, like
to
the
it.
Concept, the idea of like, fuck, if this works and all these fans are behind us in our own fucking like, it is got a culty feeling to it. That word has got so much negative baggage, and it's not really actually that much of a negative word, but that culty feeling behind it definitely subconsciously fueled that shit. Because then we're writing with this thing in mind, being like, imagine everyone singing that back, like even the lyrics. I think when you were talking about some people have done Patreons and maybe it didn't have the same branding as ours, like, I think that's one of the reasons we seeped the lyrics. The lyrics spoke about the fucking Patreon in the song. Like Matt wrote the lyrics, like, this is where it all begins, resurrection or defeat. We're saying it like out there. So I think that concept definitely fueled the fire.
And just imagine this, right? This is literally makes, like, gives me goosebumps. When we put the next tour, which is in September now, when we put that on sale, we put like the society members could access tickets first. We're doing multiple shows in each city. The first show we're playing is sold out to society members. And if we open with the song Sleep Society, the first thing that anyone's going to say in that room is going to be a room full of Sleep Society members shouting Sleep Society together. Like, that.
Awesome.
And they're all in that thing. They all made it possible. That for me is going to be, when we get to that point of playing shows, hearing people shout Sleep Society and it actually coming from the people who are in it is going to be fucking cool.
That's beautiful. Got fucking cold thinking about it.
That's the fucking, that's the corona, that, mate.
Yeah, it might be actually. Yeah. Oh. I've got cold on the arms, but I'm boiling on the head.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think this weekend you're gonna have so many messages of people feeling like that kind of relatability to these songs as well as everything else going on. But One thing I've got to talk about is the features on this record, because obviously, you know, you've got Simon Neil, Biffy Clyro on Nervous, and that in itself was an emotional roller coaster, just watching that video and the emotions going through it. But you have Derek Weebly of Sum 41, as well as members of the Sleep Society on this record. So first of all, how did Derek happen? Please, I need to know this, because that is mad. Wait,
I didn't even know that, right? So, fucking what?
He just texts me and we're like, Sean, dude, let me be part of this shit. I think it's a weird one. Like, it came through... there was always a point in a record where the idea of guests present themselves, and this happened here, and James had been on tour with...
Shout out Jar, shout out James Hill.
Yeah, this is all down to James Hill.
We love him very much.
I think he toured with their manager or something like that, or had a contact for their manager. He's like, oh, I can hit him up. I'm like, dude, yes, do that, because that would just be ridiculous. And it sort of fell through at the beginning. Derek were too busy and whatever, but they responded, and he said that Derek likes the song, so that was a win for us anyway. He said the song sounds great, but you know, it's not going to work out.
Honestly, just a response is fine.
Yeah, like,
if you say no or yes, like,
and that was even from his manager, and yeah. I was stoked on that. So that kind of fell through, and then the coolest thing about it all, they emailed us back like a month and a half later saying, oh, Derek's had more time to listen to the tune and he's free if the spot's still available. And we were like, what? Yeah.
So he did a great job at like knocking us down and then coming back and be like, actually, I will do it.
So that's how that began. And I've contained my fanboy, because I've been kind of the point of contact with Derek, like getting, you know, like emails, and me and Matt had the first phone call with him. I was shitting myself.
Very cool.
That's why I needed Matt, because I would have been too nervous to take it. But I think once we got it all finished, and I sent him the master and stuff, and we'd done all the talking and stuff, I then let it out, because, by the way, I've just been containing my fanboy this entire time. I'm a massive fan. Like, you're one of the reasons I'm in a band. And he said he's a fan of the band, and he knows us and stuff. It's just like, it's just fucking stupid, isn't it? It makes no sense to me.
So cool.
And
it is mad,
most surprising thing about Simon and Derek is their willingness to be part of it, and how normal, down to earth. I mean, I would never expect them not to be normal or any kind of cock star anyway, but just how happy they were to be part of it. We never felt like we had to beg that. They were like,
no.
When we told Simon the concept, he was just in straight away.
He was thanking us for asking him.
Yeah.
And we're trying to thank him for doing it. And he's like, no. Like, thanks for like it's been giving me the chance.
It's such a nice experience. And even Derek got back to me the other day, and he sent me a radio edit. He'd cut his own radio edit up because he wants to push it. And I was like, I fucking love that shit.
So cool.
I'm like, get in there, get stuck in. I'm like, give me the ideas, or like, just, it was just such a really peaceful experience.
Yeah.
So like iconic figures. It's really cool.
And what was fun about the process with both of them is that we went into the idea of guests on the album with trying to do it a little bit differently. So we thought, we kind of had this idea where we were like, let's send them us singing the whole song with all the lyrics, and then just say, sing it. You like sing along to the lyrics all the way through the song. See where you feel like you slot in. See what, like, see where it fits your voice in the range. Like join the band for the song. Don't come in for 30 seconds in the bridge. Like collaborate with us more than feature as a part. And then they sort of both came back with where they were almost like putting, just singing on bits that we'd not like spoke to him about doing.
Both of them, which is the coolest thing about it, or both of them added ideas in there.
Yeah.
Which means they're feeling it. I never wanted anyone to, when you're working with someone, you need them to feel something. And the fact that you feel inspired to even add a harmony is a big thing. I'm like, yes, go with that then. Go down that direction.
Yeah.
Everything that Simon did is on that song. Whatever he wrote for it, we used it.
And Derek was like changing little flares at the end of lines and singing stuff a bit different. And we were like, because we'd sent him our version, you know what I mean? But he was like, oh, I think I'd just go down at the end of that instead of go up. And it were really nice. We sort of felt like it had they put their stamp onto it rather than just doing the part we set for them.
Yeah, it's almost like No Defeat for the Brave. It's almost like it's Derek featuring Whilst He Sleeps a little bit, which I think is cool, because whoever really does that, like he's singing both these like pre-verses and he's singing the chorus with us. It's like, why would we not do that? We collaborate with one of the most like inspirational artists of our childhood, and now we're singing together rather than just this one section. His energy is kind of throughout the song. It's cool.
We also have three singers in the band, so why not get a fourth one and sing all at the same time as well?
I seen a comment the other day. It was like, do any of these guys ever sing on their own? Are they all just shit at singing? I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. We cover each other's mistakes.
Do you want to go to the gig and sing on your own? No.
I can't wait for the While She Sleeps BTS crossover when there's fucking 700 different singers on stage. I can't wait.
I'd love to. Well, that's a good segue there, mate, because one of the other guests on the record is a collective and it's Sleep Society, and we put that out inside the Sleep Society and sent everyone in it a video of me and Sean singing and a section, and said, here's how to record this at home. You can do it with like two phones, basically. Put your phone on voice record, put like some headphones in so it don't pick it up, and then like send us these audios back. Here's two different harmonies if you want to sing them both or whatever suits you. We had 250 people send in vocals.
Wow.
Sean stacks them all up and we've got this choir of Sleep Society members.
And there's the trick, man. Like, we are not pro singers, man. We can hit a note, but anyone can hit a note, right? And all these audios we got back through, they're not amazing pieces of singing. They're just people giving it a go, just like we're giving it a go. But the miraculous thing, when we stack them all together, it sounds like a perfect choir.
Yeah.
If you soloed them, some of them were madness. But if you solo somewhere, I'm singing, it's shit. But you stack it together, sounds good.
That beautiful thing that you love about the sound of a football stadium or a festival or anyone singing together comes from everyone not singing it quite right. It comes from you're not singing it at the gig because you're like, you're not like, you're just singing it because you like that song and you're like, you're just having a moment and like singing along. You're not trying to sing it pitch perfect, but everyone's imperfections creates this beautiful blur and this massive like modulating ball of gas audio. Like it's a really, like, I love that about, and that's probably why the five of us sing together, because it's like, I don't want to be like, no, you stop. It's me.
Yeah.
It's me singing.
I think the energy of why you want to sing is more powerful than just a perfect vocal. So just the fact that you're pushing it out, I'll have more of a resonance than a perfect note with not much feeling.
Yeah.
So the fact that people are screaming and they don't know how to hit a note, that feeling that they're pushing it out through is probably more powerful than the pitch perfect. Anyway, and I think that's why I've started doing a bit more singing since So What, really. And no one said anything yet. I'm still singing it. They're still letting me sing.
Oh, that's exactly what happened with me. When I started, I was awful. And I was waiting to say, Fatty, you shouldn't be doing that. And I go, all right, fair enough. But it never happened.
I just started and no one stopped me either. I was just like, I'm going to sing along to that. But yeah, who wants to hear it perfect anyway? Do you know what I mean? Like, where's the interest in that? Like, do you know what I mean? We'd have Siri singing to us if we wanted it to be like that.
Yeah, I just find there's no passion, there's no feeling. It doesn't feel, as much alive if it's all fucking processed or it's all fucking absolutely spot on. It just feels a little bit computerized and fake. Especially nowadays more than ever, when we all know everything can be fucking quantized and fucking tuned to within a fucking millimeter of its life. Like, I think that's what we need is more. That it's punk rock, isn't it? It's punk rock. It's
honestly
fucking heavy metal to be.
You should look at the vocal. Like, when I listen to the vocalists that I'm attracted to, not because of, like, without thinking why I like their voice, I listen to them. They're all fucked. All of them sound like Tim Armstrong and Tom Waits. Like, they're all just like, like these smashed voices. And I'm like, I actually realised that I prefer the character over the quality completely.
I like the idea of you going, boys, we need to be more like Tom Waits. Everybody, start smoking cigarettes now.
You didn't have to ask. We were right. We were a terribly smoky band when we were younger.
I used to just open my eyes at morning, ciggying.
Someone put a video on YouTube called While She Wheezes, and it's us and doing podcasts and all the like wheezy noises we make when we laugh and shit. I was like, fucking hell, we sound ruined.
But it's beautiful to see you've had those kind of experiences with the guests' features and getting everyone from the society involved in the actual record as well. It's such a nice touch. But I was just wondering, is there any other guests over the years that you've tried to get that things haven't worked out or whatnot? Because I did see you tweeted, and I don't know.
Apart from me. Yeah, me. Obviously me. I don't know why. I check my trash and my junk every day. Wow. I'm still waiting on it. It's got to be there. I know you must have sent one.
We sent it by Owl.
So you know.
Yeah.
It came by Owl, so I don't know if he's made
Owl. They don't like owls and Mirtha.
I said it with Hermes.
Our next door neighbor's like a huntsman, so that's probably what's happened there. Yes, I tell you what, I'll send another one anyway, and you know, perhaps we do a B-side or something later on or whatever. But yeah, is there anybody else that you would have loved on?
Well, I did see you tweet, I don't know if it was a joke or not, about Liam from Prodigy.
Yeah. No, it was a real thing. So Sleep Society, ironically, was the first song we kind of got together for the album. And I don't know why, I always had this like really Slipknot-y, raw, dark intro build-up really long. I had this idea from the beginning. And then it turned into I wanted this dark synth to come in. And I could never get... I was using Omnisphere, which is awesome. It's just like a plug-in on Pro Tools. But I just couldn't get it to sound right, and it weren't doing what I wanted. And I wanted that kind of disgusting, acid-y, Prodigy feeling to it. Yeah. And I just couldn't get it. And I'm like, why don't...
Here we go.
Yeah, why don't we try and get Prodigy involved? Like, Prodigy X Whilst He Sleeps could just be insane.
Fine, yeah. And there was a route of going down, like, analog synth dudes for a bit, weren't they?
Yeah, and we know Dean Bedford, he used to guitar tech for him. I'm like, do you have a contact? He's like, yeah, he said it's a long shot, but go for it. So I emailed their manager pitching the idea, and nothing came back, which is cool because it kind of... It inspired me to do my own research about what synths Liam were using, and he uses a Roland 303 bass analog modulator is what he uses for the sound I was looking for anyway, this acid synth. And Behringer do a remake of it because the originals are quite expensive. So I got the Behringer, and whilst the song was getting mixed, I learned how to do it and put this sound on, and it was bang on the sound I was looking for just by chance with a little bit of research. And do you know when you've got an idea in your head, but everything you hear just isn't doing what you want, but you don't know where this thing is, but you know it exists? Because I've heard it in passing, and the thing is, I get inspired by Prodigy, but I don't really listen to it. I get inspired by my idea of the band, if that makes any sense. I get inspired by my perception of what I think they're like. Maybe they're not really like that, but the idea I get from is what driven that synth idea. And thanks to them not getting back, it really got me hyped up on synths. But I would still love to do that collaboration. I think it'd be fucking mad.
That's a pretty like ongoing While She Sleeps thing where we want something to happen and it doesn't get... You can't find the place that provide the thing we're after. Yeah. So you just go like, let's just do it then. Let's just work out how to do it ourselves. Like, before this podcast, I'm shop fitting. I'm building... the internal fixtures for a shop. Like that's the lengths of Sleeps, and it would definitely be easier to just go to someone who actually does that, but instead we're doing it ourselves. And that like that's the same
but
thing.
But that's what I think everybody loves about you guys is the DIY factor and the fact that we can watch it and we can watch you guys building like the fucking like you know the studio and everything you fucking created. It's been unbelievable to watch, and it's like just to break that thing down. It's like a TV series.
Yeah. The more people see people like us doing it, who are clueless, the more they go like, maybe I'll give that a blast this weekend and have a go at it and realize that yeah, like it is doable. It's those things. It's very easy to spend alive thinking that like you need the other person who's a specialist in that area to do that thing,
yeah.
And then sometimes you have a go at that thing and you're like, not that difficult, like it like I could probably do that. It might take me three times as long, but I'll learn something along the way and it'll be fun. And that like you only have to do that once or twice, and then you get this like amazing sensation of like can-do attitude that comes with doing things like that. And yeah, I love it. And like the synths are a perfect example of it. It's like you couldn't find someone to do it, so you did it yourself and it came out better.
See, I do that only sometimes. I get inspired by Matt's attitude towards that stuff, because Matt will do anything. If you know, like, oh, like I said, you need to go and get that synth guy, or like someone who knows about speakers. Because you do that, you do delegate that, because sometimes you can't be arsed. Mm. I do it sometimes. I can't do it all the time, but Matt does it all the time, where it's like, I think people forget that all the great things that's ever happened in the world, created, invented, achieved, was done by, like, humans.
Yeah, by you.
By people.
The same thing as you.
Humans come first, and then it's like the skill set comes post. So you have the capacity to do the same shit as fucking Einstein and Tesla if you want to. So I like that from Matt, because you sometimes you can't be arsed, so you maybe you don't want to put in the time, but there's such a massive illusion. Same with a band. People probably look at us and be like, wow, I could never do that. It's just so magical. It's like, not really. I think you can do it. You can actually do these things that you perceive as being like outlandish, but they're not. You've just got to put your foot in that way. But oh shit, same with synth. I didn't even know what synth was.
I don't know what any of those buttons.
Look at this. It looks like a fucking toy.
Legit, I don't know what to click.
And it's like small little toy. It's really hard to do. You've got to like manually put the things in. Literally the first synth I've ever bought, I'm 30, don't know anything about synths, and it's awesome. But I don't know if I'll do it again. Like, Matt would do it multiple times just because he knows he can do it himself.
But then I might move on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I like delegating some stuff sometimes. I don't want to do it all myself.
Do a bit of both. Do it all once, and then you realise the ones that were rewarding and fun and the ones that are like a no-go.
And a good thing about that is when you start doing all these things yourself, and then you see someone in their specific field wearing that act and playing that game with their suit on and be like, yes, I'm really, you know, I've got life all figured out and I know what I'm very important. You get to see through the fucking curtains that way, because you can see, well, you're just playing a show, dude, because anyone can fucking do that shit.
Yeah, like, well, I can do that. You know, and I watched a YouTube video.
You get the good cop and the bad cop. You know, like, you get the bad cops and they're just fucking dicks for no reason. It's just like you're on the power trip, but forgetting the simple fact that the person that you're power tripping can go and get your job, can train to be a policeman too. So it's just that, like, I'm just talking shit, but yeah.
No,
it's perfect.
I completely get it. The amount of people I've seen DJing who make it look like it's fucking solid, right? Like they are actually writing or fucking playing the track. Just all you're doing, most of them are not even fucking doing anything. They're pressing play, holding a knob, right, which doesn't do anything, just in case. And every now and again, they'll go, like, fucking shut up, like,
you know, just... Carl, who we make records with, he told me that in old studios, because like in the time where sort of A&R turn up and they're like, hey guys, we're gonna check the records going well, like, and they sort of sit there and they want to sort of put in a little bit of a, they want to add something,
right,
to feel necessary.
Yeah. Like they're involved.
I'm not saying A&Rs aren't, but just to paint this as a picture for a second, keep getting fucking trouble on interviews.
In your man, everyone stop crying and taking the shit we say out of context, man.
Jesus Christ, stop fucking crying.
Stop moaning.
You know who you are. Well, anyway, that, and Carl said that they used to have a knob and they'd sort of call it this thing, and when someone had explained like what they think they needed to add more of, they'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, like, oh, I think I know what you're saying, like it needs a bit more of this, and the knob would do nothing, but they would feel like what they've done has brought something good to it, and then leave being like, I made a good difference on that song, just like making you feel like
it's mad. Yeah,
wow, that's brilliant. But just quickly, guys, before you go, because obviously you're very busy and we don't want to add any more stress to everything going on, but as it stands this weekend, you're supposed to be doing a pop-up shop and actually being able to meet fans in the flesh, obviously, in September as well.
Yes.
You're going to be touring in some very sweaty venues. I'm sure you're looking forward to all of that. And is there anything else we can expect now in the While She Sleeps camp for this brilliant new record?
We have got plans. We got lots of big plans.
Big
special plans, but it's very much a plan and a project, and we're working on it all and waiting for the world to pan out a bit about how things are going to happen. But yeah, it's going to be a really exciting sort of album campaign as a whole, from where we start in those insane small rooms to whatever we do.
If all goes well, to see where we're at now and then to see what's happening in 2 years, if all goes well, we should have the podcast again and remember what we're saying now. And if it all works out, it would be quite miraculous.
We could do a cool cutback to us right now.
Yeah. Us then, with the hopes of what it's going to be.
You'd be like, oh, look at us by there before the crowns and the animal and the fake animal furs we used to wear
and
before
I'll
we made
Tom
it
Waits.
Massive big time.
That's it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, one more thing before you go. I think we should really look into this. I've seen lately Sean and Josh Franceschi from Umea 6 relighting a potential boxing match.
He don't want none of this smoke, bro.
He's all talk.
Oh, you'd kill him. You'd kill him. I'm all over this. You'd kill him.
It's
Sean's unite. We've got this.
Yeah.
I'm up for this as well. I'm up for getting involved. So,
do you want to fight or ref?
Oh,
I'll fight someone. But it's got to be somebody else who was in a band who's now irrelevant as well. So,
I thought he was going to say he wanted to fight me, and I was like,
oh. Oh, that wouldn't be a bad. Oh, I'd fucking hammer you. Oh my, I would turn you into a fucking pink mist. I'm squeezing my fucking coffee cup too hard now, thinking about fighting you.
Well, we're going to be the undercard for Sean and Josh as the main event.
By the size of your band, that dictates where you are on the roster. So it's a joke, but I think it could be something fucking awesome.
We're fucking pre-card, Mark. We're fucking before the doors open, Morg. Me and you are fighting before the doors even open. But yeah, the thing is, with this, like, because it is happening, like YouTubers and TikTokers are fighting each other. Yeah. I was wondering how long it's going to be until fucking a band does it. And I think you should take that lead, Sean.
I think you think about this, man, in terms of entertainment and financial, it could be amazing. The fight game is getting hot right now. It's all over fucking place, isn't it? Boxing, UFC, it's just taking over. Especially these crossover fights and stuff, fucking Jake Paul, all that mad shit. You imagine doing like a stadium, that'd be fucking ridiculous. An arena of big bands, you know what I mean? All your favourite bands, and there's like undercards of fights, and it's just playful, but I think it could be fucking.
I want to pair up.
Amazing.
I want to pair up all the things. So, like, you know, like you said, you'll fight someone. Like, I want to, but like. It's like sound guy versus sound guy, and then it's like bass player versus bass player. It's
merch,
like,
guys, and.
Yeah, merch guys are on first. Like.
And then you've got your big guy at the top headline.
I sort of think I could fight from another podcast, and for some reason the instant thought was like, oh, Sophie Key. But then I'd probably not fight Sophie Key, so she'd fucking batter me anyway.
I think there's a big charity to do. Could be a real fucking good, like, raise money for something cool and, like, an absolute laugh.
Well, that's it. I'm going to do a white collar before I'm dead. That's what. So after this campaign, it's my to-do list just to do a white collar for a charity that makes sense or something. So I want to do that just for fun.
Nice.
So if we can somehow make that work with Josh, and then maybe get a few more band and crew.
Surely we can. We can make some sort of festival,
I think
right?
Happen. I think
where
it
bands
would be good.
Play as well. Like, you could literally have bands play a couple of fucking scraps for a laugh for charity.
It's just for fun. Like, I'm not even that good at boxing. I just enjoy it. And I know that, you know, the worst thing can happen is you can get knocked out. That's it. Which I've never been knocked out, so I'm not really planning on getting knocked out. But I think it just could be fucking hilarious.
Oh, it'd be a top laugh. But yeah, just, I'm putting it out there right now. I'm not fighting Craig Reynolds from the Downbeat. Oof. I wouldn't mind seeing Morgan fight him.
Also
I think
not.
That would be good.
What drummer can we put against Reynolds? Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
Like,
what about Azalea Dayim?
Oh, Jordan Mangino.
Jordan.
Craig Reynolds.
That'd be a good one. Savin Reynolds.
Savin Reynolds.
Savin Reynolds would be.
Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yes. Cage match.
Why don't we just rip off, like, early 2000s WWF, but with band members?
Fucking Riffle-mania! Riffle-mania!
Riffle-mania. I've been trying to start Sean Long's school of riffcraft and wizardry for years. But Riffle-mania...
That's my fallback.
...is fucking... I am into that.
Riffle-mania.
Let's fucking look into it. Let's fucking make this happen, boys.
If this happens,
this is a thing. I genuinely believe this is a fucking thing we could be making.
I do.
We could
too.
Be fucking doing this.
Could raise some good money, man.
He's got a steel chair. He's got, oh, God, it's Reynolds. He's got a steel chair. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, my God. I thought he'd been cancelled. Marilyn Manson's turned up. No. What the fuck? Yeah, we could have like a casket match. We could have cancelled fighters fighting cancelled fans fighting each other.
People have been fully cancelled. Like, that's all they can do now is just fight.
We'll rig it though so they get fucking whooped, do you know what I mean? And like, oh, everyone's stoked.
Yeah. They're all getting gunged at the end. Yeah, they're all getting covered in shit or something at the end. It'd be fucking brilliant.
This idea can snowball heavily.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's snowballed already.
Yeah, true.
I don't know where else is going to go?
It's already a snowman.
Oh, did Simon Neil, just got to get this in quick, did Simon Neil mention where he got the inspiration for his mullet from?
He apologised for it a lot. He said a lot of sorries because we didn't know.
All right, yeah. Question is, Sean,
have you just been watching Nervous Video and you were like, I want to get myself a mullet, I do.
Oh. Well, number one, no, I'm not even going to say what that was. Actually, Matt, I think you'll find we did a podcast with Simon when he had long hair.
Yeah.
And I was already fucking into this.
Okay.
Well, we know what you're fighting at Reformania.
We do.
Well, yeah. Oh, well, oh, fucking yes!
Mullet Mania.
Simon versus Sean. Yeah, I was just wondering, yeah, because he's literally nicked that from me, so I'm going to fight him now.
Now I know a bit more, I've got a bit of an idea. He said when I spoke to him and he was like, I've got the mullet, he said it's the only thing that I had control of, the only thing that I could, he was like, I feel so like I can't go out, I can't do anything. He was like, the only thing I feel like I can change or do is chop my hair off. That's the effects of lockdown.
Fair play to him. I look forward to meeting him in the ring. But yeah.
Wow. This is.
I'm going to go and make a fucking fight card after this. I'm going to email eddiehearn5@gmail.com because that's bound to be his email, isn't it? He's bound to have the top five answers. I'm telling you now, we're onto something new. This could happen.
I was just going to say, can we just say that we trademark all of this so anyone listening doesn't steal our ideas?
Copyright.
So technically, that is an audio patent pending. I don't know, but
I know, dude. It's a thing, dude. If we don't do it, we're going to be pissed off.
What about Dan Flint from Yumi versus Eddie Thrower?
Perfect.
Good little drummer fight there. Sav versus Reynolds.
We think it's a really good idea, but actually we just cause everyone to fall out and no one talks anymore.
Everyone gets injured and can't play music
anymore.
Fuck you.
nobody can play a gig again because they've all got fucking detached retinas. It's fucking over.
But then imagine all the diss tracks everyone's going to write about each other afterwards.
We
should write them for it. For the promo.
See, with the boys, you literally write the themes for everyone. Ooh, boys,
oh my god.
Drew from Stray against someone's great. Drew's feisty.
Oh, this could be boys. I am so into this. This is fucking brilliant. You could come up with the themes, you could write the themes.
You can get bands doing theme tunes, literally, intro music.
You could drop singles around it dissing your opponents.
Oh,
epic.
and we'll do it all for a good cause, let's get it going.
At the end of the day, we're all gonna fight each other for a good cause, but that's a strange ending. But I'm glad we've got there. Thanks so much, guys, for taking the time to come on and
all is good
and share these brilliant ideas. But congratulations on everything with the Sleep Society.
Thank you. You're both legends.
Now with the records, looking forward to seeing everything as it unfolds.
Thank you. Thanks for having us again.
Thank you so much, boys. This has been awesome. I'll see you at Rifflemania. Congratulations on the record. I'm sure I'll see you in Bridgend when you play Bridgend.
Yes.
In September.
Yes.
But yeah, that'll be fucking awesome. And we get to do one of these in the flesh. So
yes, please.
And literally flesh out Rifflemania. So that'll be awesome.
Banging.
Love it. All right. Cheers, lads. Thanks
for
having
us.
Cheers,
guys.
Bye.
I need a wee so bad.
You're listening to Sapping Podcast! Yes!
Yes! Lovely,
fantastic.
Lovely stuff.
I can't speak highly enough. Yeah. Like, if I carry on talking about them, people are going to think that I have a crush on them.
that all that they've paid you to say these, which they haven't, we can confirm.
Why didn't I think of that first? Yeah. Why did I think? I instantly went to crush, like, oh, look at him, he got a crush in him. Oh, oh, he they've slipped him a couple of quid.
Yeah.
They can do, they can slip me a couple of quid, I'll be up for that.
We're not against it, we're not against money.
And it's too late now, anyway, because I've done all this.
Yeah,
so,
fair enough.
But
it's lovely to see how passionate they are about everything. I think in today's kind of music scene, it's so easy for bands to just kind of try and use anything they can to sell a record or themselves or anything. But in this conversation, you could just tell how much they care about the industry as a whole. It's not in a negative mindset, as I mentioned. They're not telling record labels to fuck off. But, you know, we've heard so many bad experiences in the past with some bands not being able to release records or getting screwed over or whatnot. So it's nice to see that there's a new act out there trying to make waves for people, that there is alternative methods of making it in the music industry. And a really good point they made is the music itself, like CDs or tracks, not having that value as they used to, you know, because we can access everything so easily at our fingertips these days, you forget that mindset. And you know, these kids these days, Sean, right?
Granddad Morgan. Here we go.
Well, like back in my day, right? I remember waiting outside of record shops to open so I could go in and buy a CD.
A CD? Well, in my day, I remember queuing outside Woolworths, which is a while ago, and buying a cassette tape. We should just keep doing this forever. Well,
to be fair,
actually, my dad told me that he queued outside something for a vinyl, and then we just keep going to
what the fuck's a mini disc? But you only went to Woolworths so you could get a pick and mix as well.
Yeah, they were costly, though. Very costly.
Yeah, they were, weren't they, really? When you think about it, pick and mixes were quite, like...
Look at it. We're like old comedians. We're like really old. Oh, that Woolworths pick and mix is probably where they shut down. Anyway, well, as you were saying, the value of music is deteriorated for some reason. People just don't see worth in it. People expect it now. That's what it is. Because people go, you're in a band. Oh, you must want to give us music then. And it's like, I want you to hear my music. Yeah, but it literally costs to make it and get it out to you, which a lot of people don't understand. So, it's nice to see that they're working to put value back into everything, really. And I've watched videos this week of, I saw Matt building stuff for the meet and greets and stuff they have coming up. And it's just awesome, isn't it? It's just so hands-on, and there's no like... rock star, as much as they are rock stars, if you watch their videos, they're cool as fuck. They're super cool.
Yeah.
But there's no rock star attitude to, like, I'm too good to do anything. It's just all hands on and they're fucking killing it. So, again, I've just bragged them up too much. But, well done, boys. I'm chuffed for you. Yeah.
Same here. Congratulations on everything. I'm sure this record is going to be absolutely huge. Please make sure you support whatever creators out there that you enjoy. If there's how many bands can we name that had to give it up because of financial reasons and everything? So support.
Two.
Oh, I can name more than that. I was not going into this because then I feel like we're just out in bands who had no money. But...
Oh, rhetorical question. Rhetorical, eh?
But
four.
No.
carry on,
go and support the bands you like, the podcasts you listen to, the creatives, the artists, photographers, anything you can. Look up their website, see if they've got a fucking Patreon or anything, and go and subscribe to it. And very quickly, I want to say a massive shout out to the incredible James Hill again for making this podcast happen. He is a member of While She Sleeps team. He works with them, and he's also a member of our Patreon community. That's how nice a person he is. That
he's a legend.
He's an absolute star. The last time we recorded with While She Sleeps, it was my birthday. We went to Manchester and he gave me a lot of J2O as a gift. Any J2O for this one, so I'm expecting it in the post.
Yeah, that's nice. And you were saying that this is episode 125, and the last one we did with While She Sleeps was episode 62, so nearly...
Just over double.
So we've done 63 episodes since. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. It's mad to think.
Thing is, if we did last week like we were originally planned to, it would have been dead on. Mad, isn't it? Anyway.
We didn't plan all this out.
And how good is the Rifflemania idea? That's what we need to talk about, after just hearing it.
Yeah, we should. That definitely needs to happen. I think everyone would love to see people fighting each other for charity and for a good cause.
But bands playing as well. Kind of like the Every Time I Die Christmas show where they do wrestling. We could do one somehow with bands boxing each other. Because there's loads of bands who think they're tough, innit? So... You know, no, that's not me calling anybody out. Whoa. I just mean they probably want to fight each other. I'm up for being beaten up, or if somebody wants, and there's got to be a couple of, if anybody remembers me, they probably want to kick my ass. So,
all right. Hey. The tickets would definitely shift. I think it would be a nice day out. We all need an excuse for a nice time out after the last year we've all had. So let's all watch all our favourite bands fight each other because.
Oh, yeah, but also you came up with the idea of me and you fighting each other.
Yeah.
How do you see that going?
Wow. In a very comedic fashion, I imagine. I think the bleed up to it all would be absolutely hilarious. Because, like...
Oh, the promos. Yeah, the promos, and the face-to-face, and a press conference, and a... Yeah. And a weigh-in. We'd not do it a weigh-in. I'm not taking my top off. I'm not fighting anyone with my top off, right? I'm doing... If I'm fighting anyone... I don't even know why I've even put myself... If me and you had a fight, I'd be wearing a vest. So,
right, okay.
To hide my midsection. So there's no, like, weigh-ins where we're...
Showing off the poses and fake muscles.
Yeah, but how do you see that fight going? You reckon you've got a good chance, then?
Well,
Bear in mind, you should be building for a fight now, so you should say yes, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I think I'd do all right. I think I'd, you know,
stop breaking kayfabe now, right? And get into it and go, I reckon I'd stand a fair chance, Sean.
Well, I do, to be honest. Yeah, I think, you know, the hidden wrestling moves I can hit on you would blow you out of the water.
What, in boxing?
Yeah. I don't play by the fucking rules, Bat.
Imagine if you whipped out a wrestling move. Oh my God, he suplexed him. No way.
Oh, fuck out. But yeah, we should definitely get onto that. And just a reminder as well, if you are listening to this on the weekend, it was released. Whilst You Sleeps are going to be doing some like socially distant meet and greet pop-up shops in London this weekend and then Sheffield the weekend after. So if you're local, have a look online for the details about that and the ifs and don't please wear a mask to these things. I don't know more information about it, so read up because everyone needs to learn new shit. But before we go into anything else, Sean, a reminder for anyone listening, if it's your first time or not, make sure you are subscribed to whatever platform you get your podcasts from and go and give us a follow on our social media pages at SappeninPod.
At SAPPENINPOD, that's at SAPPENINPOD on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, check out our Patreon. And yeah, we've got a bunch of people that we need to thank. If you check out the description of this podcast, Morgan has written a thank you to all the, to a load of our Patreons. And yeah, we've got some special names we need to thank right here, right now, like we do every week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Mikey McDonald's McMuffin Buns, Janelle Caston, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kelly Young, Dilly Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Liam Connolly, Scooby Drew Styles, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Owen, Kat Besson, Sammy G, Amadine Urbano, Shani Meyer Boxel Anderson, Tony Michael, Justin Dunn, Amy Campion, Murray Grimwood, Johnny Phillips, Scott Jones, Dan Gies, TJ Ambler Shattock, Kate Stevenson, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Emily Senegals, Danny Eaton, Becky Andy, Lucy Diaz, John and Emma, Martina McManus, Louis Cook, Jenny Robinson, Marcy Jacobson. Happy birthday for this week, Marcy. Thank you very much, Sharif Awadali, Jason Heredia, Caroline Robinson, Craig Harris, Carl Pendlebury, Kevin Clark, James McNaught, Kelly Cannon, Livy Cropper, Stuart McNaught, Lydia Henderson, Chris Howard, Ollie, we need to come up with fun themes again, Amesbury, Josh, no joke this week, because Sean helped me realise I am a fucking joke, Chris. Good. Good. It's about time you... Anyway, I'm only joking, Josh, I love you very much. You bring happiness to a lot of people in our group. Thank you very much, Alice Wood, Adam, King of the Gox, Parslow, Keris Andrews, Simon Amos, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins and his family. Thank you very, very much to those people.
Yes, we love you all very, very much. Thank you for keeping this thing going each and every week. And if you'd like to get involved with our Patreon, that's patreon.com/sapnin. You're definitely going to have a laugh. There's some bonuses and it's all a good time. Anything else you'd like to mention, Sean, before I go off and train now for our mega fight at WrestleMania?
Oh, nice. I wouldn't bother if I was you, but...
No?
It's going to be over in seconds.
Wow. Don't talk yourself down like that, Sean. I mean, I know I am a specimen in the ring, but that's a whole different game.
I am going to hit you so hard, right, that you are going to go back. You are going to see what it's like to be in your favourite film, Back to the Future.
Wow. That's
I'm going to hit you at 88 mile an hour, right? And all that's going to be left are literally Morgan's skid marks on the floor. Make whichever skid marks you want. Whichever skid marks the listener of this is now thinking of, it's those exact skid marks. So whether it's from the rubber on the bottom of his shoes or the other skid marks, that's now on you. And yeah, no chance, Morg. Absolutely no chance. I can't wait.
Wow, I can't believe you bought one of my favourite films into this. Now I'm taking it very personally.
Oh, also quickly, just before we go, Sean Long or Josh Franceschi? I'm going to go Sean Long.
Yeah, if I had to put money on it, sorry, Josh, I probably would put money on Sean as well. I think he's a bit feisty.
Yeah.
You know.
Really, for the sake of the podcast, what you should have done here is, you should have said, oh, well, I'm going to go Josh, so we keep friends. But what we've both done is, I've both gone, yeah, Sean, so... Anyway, that was episode 125 of Sapnin Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Please check out all the other episodes. And as we said, Patreon, all our bollocks. Sapnin! Oh, I'm going to cough. Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.